Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Arrogant Expert or Humble Servant, from the series Stronger, and shows you what Paul says about Christian selfishness and its impact on the church. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, we're starting a new chapter. Paul has been talking about carnality in the Corinthian church. Carnality is a simple way of saying Christian selfishness or Christian childishness. It's when there's a person or group of people who genuinely have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, but they live in such a way as if he's not the Lord. In other words, I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad that Jesus loves me, but I'm still going to make my life about me. That's what carnality is. It's Christian selfishness. And so Paul's been talking to them about the effects of Christian selfishness, how it causes divisions, it can cause loss of rewards, and how seriously God takes his church. And what he's going to do now is in chapter 4, begin to tell people, based upon what I've been telling you about carnality versus living completely for the Lord, what are you going to do? I mean, what kind of choice are you going to make? Are you going to choose to live humble, or are you going to choose to live arrogant? Are you going to choose to live as a servant of Jesus, or are you going to choose to live for yourself? And really what we're going to see in 1 Corinthians 4 in these first 13 verses is three different views or perspectives of what Paul's saying. You know, the first view, he's going to be taking a look at other people and their ministry. How a humble person sees another person's ministry versus how an arrogant person sees another person's ministry. Then we're going to take a look at how do I even view myself, right? How do I view myself as a humble servant versus someone who's arrogant? And then we're going to take a look at the application. If I'm going to live humble, what does that look like? If I'm going to live arrogant, what does that look like? And so those are the perspectives that Paul's talking about as we get in. So we're going to take a look at those three specific things. So I encourage you, make sure your Bible is open, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's begin reading. Paul has just finished talking about how they're servants of the Lord, whether him or Apollos or Peter, and they belong to Christ and belong to the church. Then he says this, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not acquitted by this. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. So Paul is talking about this first group. It's our lens of how we see others. And I've used it as arrogant experts is the word that I'm kind of using here because that's what arrogant Christians think is that they're experts on everything. So the first point Paul's trying to make is that arrogant experts make it their job to judge others' motives. The arrogant side, the arrogant experts make it their job to judge others' motives, but humble servants focus on serving and they leave all the judgment to the Lord. They leave all judgment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you think about how you view other people in ministry, whether it be a pastor or a small group leader or some other pastor outside the church or somewhere else, how do you view them? Here's how Paul says he wants to be regarded. He said, let a man regard us in this manner. He's like, well, how, Paul? How do you want to be regarded? He says this, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Now, when you hear this, this should be one of the best definitions of what leadership is. Had a chance to lead many of our guys this last Friday night and Saturday morning on some leadership training, leadership foundations. And we gave the definition of leadership, which is Christ-centered service and stewardship to God and others. Christ-centered service and stewardship to God and others. This is right from this. What does Paul say? He's like, I'm a servant of Christ. Now, this word servant here means literally like under rower. It means like galley slave. It's like I'm the lowest of the lowest slave of all. I get treated worse than anybody, and I'm cool with that. That's what I am to Christ. I'm Christ's slave. I'm Christ's servant. I don't get a say in any matter. Whatever he says, I do. He's the Lord and I'm the lowest. Right? That's what he's saying. That's a servant. If God tells me to move somewhere, if God tells me to go somewhere, however God would lead, that's the way that I want to go. And what is he? He's a steward of the mystery of God. Well, what's a steward? A steward is one who is responsible. In the Bible, you'll see people were stewards over households, or they were stewards over fields, or stewards over vineyards, or stewards over a person's money. It meant that you had responsibility for something that you were going to be held accountable to. He said, I'm a servant to Christ, and I'm a steward. There's this thing I'm going to be held accountable to. And what is he held accountable to? The mystery of the gospel. Now, we talked about this mystery before. This mystery is really no mystery. It's not because we're approaching Halloween and it's spooky, right? Mystery literally means what was clearly unknown in the Old Testament has now been made clearly known in the New. In other words, God had a redemption plan throughout the entirety of the Bible, which became clearly known in the person of Jesus Christ, that God became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. And that Jesus Christ himself, born of a virgin, born sinless, came and lived a perfect life, fulfilled God's plan, did everything his Father wanted. And what we couldn't do to get to God because of our sinful nature, God did to get to us. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law and then sacrificed himself on a cross and died on a cross and was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again. He did what we could never do. He satisfied the wrath of his Father by fulfilling the law of God. And Paul said, we are a steward and we are responsible to getting this message out. He's like, that's what he's a slave to. I'm a slave to Jesus and I'm a steward of the gospel. That's why you read in different places where Paul says, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Well, what's the gospel mean? It means this. All of you are welcome to have a relationship with God. And it comes through the person of Jesus Christ only. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Everybody can come, but it's only through Jesus. Everybody can have a relationship with God, but it's only through Jesus. No matter what sins you've ever sinned, Jesus has already forgiven them on the cross, and you just need to accept the truth and believe that he's done that for you. That's the mystery of the gospel. And Paul says, I'm tireless, and I'm responsible for doing that. I'm a slave to Jesus and a steward for him. That's a humble approach. Now, when you think about this steward, what's needed in a steward? He tells us in verse 2. He says, in this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Trustworthy is the word. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, if you put money in the bank, you're banking, no pun intended, on the bank to be trustworthy with your money. If you put in a certain amount of money, you want at least that much money there when you come to take it out, maybe even more so with interest, right? I mean, if you have somebody steward your children or babysit your children, what are you looking for? Trustworthiness, that they're gonna care for my kids in the same way that their mother and I would care for our kids if we were there. It's trustworthiness as a steward. And that's what Paul's saying when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ and his proclamation that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life to the world. He's like, I'm a slave to God. I'll do whatever he wants, but I'm a steward. I'm responsible for the mysteries of the gospel to make sure that everyone I come into contact with knows that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he loves them, and that he's willing to forgive all their sins, and they can have a relationship with him. And many of us might think, well, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Let me tell you, majority of population does not know that. They don't know that. And many people in the church that come to church week in and week out, they don't know that either. Because there's a moment in time that each person must give his or her life to Jesus Christ, accepting that God has forgiven them. And Paul said, that's what we do. That's what we work tirelessly at. And since Jesus is the Lord and I'm his slave, and since Jesus is the owner and I'm his steward, let me tell you what I think about you. He says in verse 3, but to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. Now, examine means to scrutinize, to investigate, to judge. Here's what Paul's saying. Because Jesus is my Lord and because I'm responsible to him and him alone, it's a very small thing to me, whatever you think. Here would be like modern English. I really don't care what you think. That's what he's saying to the Corinthian people. Because why? Because when you feed on what other people say about you, it's going to lead in one of two ways that's going to be really bad. It's going to lead to exaltation of, oh, you're awesome, and you're going to get this inflated, puffed up idea about yourself. Oh, you're so good. You're so great. You're so good. That's an unhealthy place to be, Paul thinks. Or if people are negative towards you and you get that, it's going to deflate you and discourage you, and then you're going to feel lousy all the time. Either way, whatever people say about you is not a healthy thing.
You're listening to Brave, and today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Arrogant Expert or Humble Servant, from the series Stronger, showing you what Paul says about Christian selfishness and its impact on the church. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is bravepastorjeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
Either way, whatever people say about you is not a healthy thing. This is why Paul says, I do not even examine myself. But the one who examines me, is, he's going to tell us, is the Lord. I don't even look at me. Why? Because I don't even know how to judge myself. Paul's saying this, I'm not aware of anything in me that's wrong. I'm not aware that I'm engaging in anything with wrong motives, but I don't even understand my own motives sometimes. I mean, just by show of hands, how many of you would say, at some point in your life, you've done something you didn't want to do, and you're like, why did I do that? Anybody ever done that? That means you don't even know your own motive why you're doing it. So why do you care about what other people do? Because you don't know their motive. That's what he's saying. Paul's like, so to me, it's a small matter. If you think I'm great, it's a small matter. If you think I'm terrible, it's a small matter to me. It doesn't matter. I'm human. I hear what you're saying. It can be hurtful or encouraging, but that's not whose voice is loudest in my ears. The voice that's loudest in my ears is the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm his slave and I'm his steward. That's what he's saying. He goes on to say in verse 4, for I'm conscious of nothing against myself, yet by this I'm not acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. He knows one day he's going to stand before the Lord, who's going to give a full examination of his entire heart for what his motives were, and guess how much? In everything. Therefore, he says in verse 5, do not go on passing judgment before the time. You know what this is? This is a call to Christians to stop judging other people's what? Motives. It is okay to judge people's behaviors, okay? We're going to see that throughout the book of 1 Corinthians. Right? If I had an affair on my wife, I couldn't say, well, don't judge me. There's a behavior that's taken place that's wrong. You can judge that behavior. If I've been hurtful with my words to you, that's a behavior. You can judge my words. What you can never judge is my motive. You don't know what my motive is. You'll never know what my motive is. I will not know what your motive is. And we're going to do what with that? If I can't judge your motive, what are we going to do? We're going to wait until the time, until the Lord comes. Do you know Jesus is coming back? How many know that? And when Jesus Christ comes back, he says he'll bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motive of men's hearts. Meaning this, hey, Jesus will bring it to light. Don't worry about it. You don't need to judge somebody else's motives because you don't know what their motive is, but Jesus will bring it to light, so don't even worry about it. Do you trust him? It means this is Christians. Stop judging other people's motives. I know why that pastor did it that way. I know why she did it that way. I know why my small group leader does it like this. No, you don't. You really don't. You may think you do, but you may be wrong. I remember when I was a first-year seminary student and I had a meal pass. And I remember we went to gather for lunch and I was chaplain of our class, which means I was up in front leading chapel services and doing these things. And one day as we had the student council meeting, I was walking into the cafeteria. I wasn't hungry. And I told the lady who was taking the punch card, no, she goes, can I see your card? I said, no, I'm not eating today. She said, okay. So I walk in and we had this council meeting and I sat down and it was like an hour and a half long. And then I bumped into a friend and I said, we hadn't caught up in a while. I was like, well, let's just get lunch and eat, talk. I'm like, cool. So I did. Wasn't thinking anything consciously at all. We have lunch. We had this great time. I remember I was walking back out of the cafeteria and this woman stopped me. You know what she said? She's like, I am embarrassed that you're our chaplain. You know why? Because you're a liar and you have no integrity. You had the gall to tell me you weren't going to eat lunch, and then you did. And I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know I was going to have it. She's like, you can lie to yourself. You can lie to anybody, but I know what you're made of. That doesn't bother me anymore. I can tell you it did at the time. Why? Because what was she judging? She was judging my motives. My behavior was, hey, you said you weren't going to eat and you did. And what I would have said is, hey, here's my card. Go ahead and punch it. I even said that to her. Here's my card. She's like, no, I'm not going to punch it. I want you to live with the guilt of that meal on your card. Great seminary, by the way. But have you ever had that happen to you where somebody's judged your motives wrongly? It really hurts. Let me tell you this. You don't know the motive of your spouse. You don't know the motive of your kids. You don't know the motives of your teacher, your coaches, your friends, your attorney. You don't know. You may think you know, but you don't. Because sometimes they don't even know. And here's what Paul's saying. If you're going to be mature, and if you're going to be a humble servant, and if you really care about being Jesus' servant and his steward, you won't have time to be looking around at why other people are doing what they do. We just don't have time for that. Why? Because I got too much time answering for how I can become less so Jesus can become more, and how I can be a steward to what he's given me responsibility for, knowing that he's going to give a full investigation and examination of my life. I don't have time for your motive. I hope it's right. I want to encourage you to go after God, but I'm not here to judge your motive. I'll never know it, right? But one day it'll be brought to light. And here's what it says. And then each man will receive his, each man's praise will come to him from God. God will give people praise for what they do. Nobody else may know why you do what you do, and nobody else may understand why you do what you do. But if you're doing it with the right motive, I got news for you. One person sees what you're doing, and you'll get commendation from him. And there's no greater reward in the entire world than to hear this. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let me ask you this. Was Jesus ever misunderstood in his motive? Was Jesus ever viewed as unloving? Was Jesus ever viewed as mean? Was Jesus ever viewed as arrogant? But what happened? Was he? He was the only person that ever lived that had a pure motive. Was Paul misunderstood ever? Were the disciples misunderstood ever? Listen, I'm telling you, mature Christians don't walk around and be the arrogant expert that has everybody else's motives figured out and why you're talking about everybody else. Just don't do it. Be a humble servant in the Lord. Focus on what God's doing in you, how you can become less, how he can become greater, how you can become more responsible with everything that he has entrusted to you. That's what Paul's telling the Corinthians, that they have a choice to make. Arrogant experts will always judge other people's motives. You'll see it on blogs. You'll hear it in people's voices. They'll talk about other pastors, other churches, other people serving, how they're doing it wrongly. I mean, it's really funny for me sometimes. I mean, not funny, like, haha, but funny, ironic, that some people will get upset with people because the way they're evangelizing is wrong. Well, how do you evangelize? I don't do it because I haven't learned the right way yet, but they're doing it wrong. Right? I mean, come on, seriously? I mean, we criticize other people for doing something wrong that we're not even doing, right? I mean, be careful how you judge others and never judge motive. You don't know. If you don't know, you can go up to a person and say, hey, did you intend this? Was this intentional on your part? I had no idea. Believe them then, because you don't know. You don't know. Well, I think they're lying to me. You don't know. Let God, can we just let Jesus sort all that out? Can we just believe that Jesus is going to handle all that stuff? I mean, I don't know how many people say stuff like this. Well, one day they're going to know. One day Jesus is going to judge them. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was at Dallas Seminary, somebody said something like that to Dr. Howard Hendricks, the famed professor, and said it was right after the OJ trial, the first one, and he was set free. And this guy came up to Howard Hendricks and said, man, I pity him. One day he's going to stand before Jesus and give an account for his whole life. And the truth is going to be known about him. And Howard Hendricks just very calmly said, if I were you, I'd be more concerned with all the truth coming out about your life. And I wouldn't worry about him because everything in your life is going to be exposed too. I mean, do you see the point? The point is it's easier to look at other people and judge what they do and judge their motives and say, well, this person's like that and she's like that and he's like that and they're like that and that pastor's like that. Just stop. The Holy Spirit doesn't need your help on motive. He can do it. And it's a call to us to know that we're going to give an account for our life. Are we living that way for us? Are we putting our hearts in front of Jesus and allowing God to show us that? And if that's how we're going to treat other people, and we're going to leave all judgment to the Lord. Because you know what? Even in the Christian circles that I run in sometimes, like, well, look at how much money that guy makes, and he's a pastor. And look at the kind of house they live in. And look at the, who cares? We're going to each answer for every single penny that we have and how well we stewarded it to the Lord. Don't worry about what everybody else does. And if that's how we're supposed to view other Christians and be humble servants rather than arrogant experts, then how is it we're supposed to view ourselves? That's what Paul begins to say next. Notice what he says in verse 6. In verses 6 and 7, he says, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that none of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against another. For who regards you as superior? What do you have you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" What's he saying? He's given us a proper view of ourselves. Here's really what he's saying, and here's my second point of this, is that arrogant experts consider themselves more spiritual than others. If you're arrogant, you will consider yourself more spiritual than others, but humble servants recognize everything they possess is a gift from God. Humble servants will always recognize that everything they possess is a gift from God. Now notice what he says, "These things I've figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes." What's he saying? Hey, in doing all this, there's a number of you by name I could have called out. I could be speaking to a number of you in the church because I've heard stories about each one of you and I could have called you out, but I've been figuratively applying all this stuff to Apollos and me for the sake of unity in the church. I've been using me as the example of doing that. Why? So that you may learn not to exceed what is written. Well, what is written? What does that mean? That's the scriptures. Don't go beyond what the scriptures teach. When it comes to leadership in the church, we're called to honor leadership. We're called to obey leadership. Even elders that work in preaching and teaching are worthy of double portion. That's fine. Honor them, love them, but don't elevate them beyond what the scripture says. Don't knock them down beyond what the scripture says, right? Just let the word be the guide. I mean, if we're gonna have a good view of ourselves, let's let the word be our mirror. Let's let the word be the guide. Why does he say this? He says it this way, "so that none of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against another." See, what happens is when we start judging other people's service and how they are to the Lord, what happens? We personally start making decisions about our spirituality based upon how other people lead. I like that pastor better than that pastor. I like this church better than that church. I like this small group leader better than that small group leader. I need to get around this kind of person or I won't grow in Christ, because if I'm only around this kind of person, what? What are you saying? You're saying my job of making judgment calls about other ministries is how it affects me. And what affects you is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not anybody else. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 6. I mean, it gets pretty far. I like Paul because he's sarcastic a little bit. I mean, he's talking to this carnal church, this group of Christians who are living completely for themselves and selfishly. And here's what he says, "For who regards you as superior?" I mean, the English translation or colloquialism would probably be translated like this: who do you think you are? Like, who was it that told you that you were a somebody? Because I know it wasn't me. Like, why do you think so highly of yourselves? Why are you so inflated? Now, let me be clear on this. Through our identity in Christ and who we are, God says some amazing things about us, right? We're holy. We already are. We're forgiven. We already are. We're declared righteous. We already are. We're forgiven. We already are. We're adopted. We already are. We're sons and daughters of the King. We're all those things. But let me be clear on one point. We're only those things because of our belief in the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood, we are nothing. What the Corinthians were saying is, it doesn't matter whether we have God or not, we're pretty awesome people. I mean, we got these truths nailed down. We're fantastic, right? This is who we are. And Paul's like, who told you you were superior? Now, let me tell you something about arrogant people. It's not just that they consider themselves better, it's that they consider themselves at all. Those who are arrogant, who's the first person they think about? It's themselves.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Arrogant Expert or Humble Servant, from the series Stronger, showing you what Paul has to say about Christian selfishness and its impact on the church. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.